This is the Getting My Act Together podcast. It is February 24, 2021. Thank you for listening, and I hope you are well. It sounded awfully formal. Checking this box and checking this box. I do hope you're well, and I would like to begin by warning you this might be the most annoying podcast of all time. It's not really a good rule of public speaking to prepare everyone to be disappointed. Not supposed to do that, but I am in a still euphoric state that I have not known. I can't recall the last time I felt this way. Maybe the last time I remember feeling the sense of euphoria, the genuine, that unbridled enthusiasm, joy, lack of cynicism that brings you to tears, almost like natural, good, healthy tears, I think was the day my daughter was born. And I feel that way because because I went and got my first vaccine shot today. And let's be clear, I've discussed on previous episodes, I'm not eligible for the vaccine. I mean, I'm a human being, but to the letter of the law and tier one, tier three, I do not fit into any of those people, any of those categories. There should be people, there are other people who should be getting the vaccine before I am. Like a lot of other people, though this does not make it right, I had an opportunity to also get the vaccine. So there's eligible people, and then people who also had opportunity. And I capitalized on that. I took advantage of that opportunity. Someone asked me for my email address, and I did not ask any questions. They said, I can get you the shot. And I gave them my email address. And a few days later, I received a, it's time to make your appointment email. So it's not ethically, I get it. It's not ethically, I did not do the ethically correct thing. Just from the math of ethics, I suppose. But I went and got the shot this morning. And the feeling I have inside of me, it is not wholly selfish, I don't think. It was spontaneously, I started like clapping on the way out and like yelling at the guys, the guards and stuff, like it's going to be a great summer. Like there's some sort, I didn't know all this was in me. I mean, my wife would be like, dude, you've been a fucking asshole for 11 months. But it wasn't about like, yay, now I can go do stand-up, or hey, we're going to be eating in restaurants or getting tattoos or whatever. Because we can still do that in Georgia. Never really took a break. It was just like the something that has just been so depressing is, and also represents something so depressing because it is coming to an end. And I say represents something so depressing because into COVID, the last 11 months in the United States where I live, you can bake into that a vitriolic political climate in which the former president was talking about how the election was rigged, you know, years before it fucking even happened. And then you can talk about the horrific killing of televised killings of unarmed black people by the police and white supremacists. Poor Ahmaud Arbery. Like, because the killing of unarmed black people is so common, the fact that a man simply jogging who was hunted and shot in the back, that went away more quickly than it should have. What else happened? California fucking burned to the ground. We lost so many people like Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Rush Limbaugh. They're fair and balanced. They're the same, aren't they? Florida's going to fly the flags at half-mast That's what the governor wants to do. And you know what? I got to say, he wants to, the Florida governor wants to fly the flags of Florida at half mast for Rush Limbaugh, which might be the final straw of me giving up on Florida. Because as you know, I've been a long, staunch supporter of Florida, and I do not like the self-righteousness with which the rest of the country views Florida. But this might be the last straw. And if you ever ask anyone to stand for that, if you're going to lower that flag, nobody should ever have to stand for that fucking flag. Because what the fuck are we talking about? It's Rush Limbaugh. Who's next? I like Howard Stern. Are we going to lower the flags at half mast when he passes? You should. But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a talk show host. Okay? It's just like Howard. It's incredible that that fucking governor wants to do that. Anyway, I'm sorry. Is this your euphoria, dude? Is this your feeling good? The deaths of so many people. I know I'm missing like 100 different things also. Wrapping up with, one of the largest states in the country, if not the largest state, I don't know, largest geographically, due to its fucking inept leadership freezing its constituents to death. All of this has been wrapped up into COVID, and I think the idea of getting a vaccine somehow makes me feel like not moving on, not moving past, not moving, but just like what this pandemic has meant and represented and is associated with. Maybe today was my first view that it could kind of come to an end in some form or fashion. That was pretty weak. Could come to an end in some form or fashion. I just felt euphoric for, not for me. It really wasn't for me. It was for us, for maybe just the lifting of the plague a little bit. 500,000 people in this country have died. So now I've talked myself into the opposite of euphoria. And I realized that maybe, what a jerk off. You shouldn't have gotten the shot. What's interesting, like I said, I was wrestling, my wife and I were wrestling a little bit with should we not get the shot? I think I mentioned this. All the people that I mentioned that uneasiness to were like, just get the fucking shot. Like, didn't think twice about it. And maybe that says more about the people I keep in touch with. But nobody was as wrapped around the axle about it as we were. So, if I seem like a jerk off because I got a shot. Anyway, the feeling I had was like, wow, this is us. This is us. That's what I felt like. I felt like part of something. Which I haven't really felt like for a year. I felt part of something. Yeah, Joe Biden beat Donald Trump. Did I feel part of that? I mean, that was my team that won, but I didn't feel part of that. This made me feel like I was part of the big group again. You know, with all it, warts and all. And it was spontaneous, and it was uncontrollable. I talk a lot. I hear myself saying emotion is pretty uncontrollable, but what you can control is the expression of emotion. So you get frustrated, that's one thing, that's natural. But to yell at somebody because of that frustration, you have control over that. But this emotion was spontaneously occurred and expressed. Like from the very first person I encountered in this process, and to set the scene, I went to a mass vaccine site, of which I think there are four or five in the state of Georgia, and the state is doing a woeful job of publicizing that. You wouldn't know. How are you getting the vaccine? I'm going to a mass vaccine site. Where's that? What's that? I haven't heard about that. Well, the state, which is the least vaccinated state per capita in the country, for some reason is not spreading that message. But I'll tell you what, they're fucking vaccinating people right now, and they're doing it, and that's all I know. I went to a massive vaccine site near the Atlanta Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. The world's busiest airport, by the way. You're welcome, world. And it was a massive parking lot, and that was very well signed once you get off the highway. It was very well signed, vaccine site this way, COVID-19 vaccine. Now all of a sudden my shoulder is starting to throb. That's the autism kicking in. Very well signed, and there was no other cars pulling in with me. So I pulled into the entrance to this big setup. It's like, imagine you're going to, and I haven't done this in a very long time, imagine you're going to a concert at a very big venue, like a football game, I suppose. I don't know what that's like. You're going to an arena or a stadium, and there are a million workers and cones and people pointing and signs saying, go this way, go that way. And you're right at the edge of the stadium parking lot pulling in. They're young dudes. They looked like, I don't know who they worked for. They worked for, because there was FEMA, there was GEMA, there was, I don't know if they're National Guard people. They looked like volunteers. They were checking to see that I had my little QR code. That's right. QAnon. They sent me a code that now is stamped into my soul. And I don't fucking care. I mean, I was using Waze to get down there, so anybody in the world can know exactly what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. From that, they can deuce any other thing about me. They have all the information. Getting a vaccine is not going to change that or affect them controlling my life. So I have location services was turned on, which suggests, is it not always turned on? Yeah, of course, because that's how I fight the power. Sometimes I will turn off location services. And try to reprogram Netflix, which leads me watching, you know, Barbara Stanwyck movies or TV shows. But as soon as I got to the first dude who asked for my little QR code, I just said, thank you. And I said to the next dude, thank you. Thank you so much. And, you know, you pass along two or three other people who point you to cones and thank you so much. Thank you. For what? For being here and facilitating this process for all of us. It was heartfelt. And anybody who listens to this podcast knows I'm not that... Well, you know I'm soft and warm in the center. But it's not my thing to just be like, hey, thank you. Good to be an American today. All that bullshit. I was genuinely thanking every single person, including at a couple places where you pass like the doo-doo who looks like the 60-year-old military high and tight general dude who 9 times out of 10, he and I probably would not be having our Venn diagrams overlap. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. It was spontaneous emotion connected to all of the stuff, I suppose. Personally, right? I can't do stand-up comedy anymore, or couldn't do stand-up comedy anymore. I have a daughter who has to stay at home. Whatever. But the bigger stuff in the world that is not me. All of the topics that I have just outlined and do not need to pull myself back into the ditch talking about. It was spontaneous. Also, I mentioned it's like going to a concert where you're at the periphery of a parking lot. Well, imagine you go to see Beyonce at a stadium and you show up at the outside and you drive into the parking lot and then you just keep going and you drive all the way up to the door of the stadium and there's still nobody else around. And they're like, well, why don't you come this way and drive into the stadium where Beyonce is? And then you pull up and you're like sitting next to Bey. That's how easy it was to get in and out of this thing. There were a few other cars, but I, from the moment I got to the periphery and said thank you to the first worker, to I was driving out of the same spot. I was in that place for 8 minutes. There was one car in front of me, and that's the only other vehicle I remember seeing. My wife, who also was not eligible like I was, went 45 minutes earlier. She said it took her 20 minutes. In and out, 8 minutes, the whole thing. And as soon as, and so as, you know, they check my ID. Yeah, they checked my ID, but it was not intrusive. I've had more intrusive questions at, you know, Best Buy. Are you still at this address? Is your phone number? It wasn't like that. I mean, they probably have it all, but who cares? I'm getting the fucking vaccine, which everybody should do. Well, we don't have an inside advantage like you do. Yeah, I know, but I bet you could get one. It did not look like there were people, and I understand this is also poor reasoning. There was no one outside that facility waiting. Like when you travel and you see the people, you're standing in the coach line and you see people in first class sailing by. It wasn't that. There was nobody there. That's what I'm saying. I was 8 minutes from, and what medical procedure takes you 8 minutes? Let alone a vaccine that didn't exist a year and a half ago. Or 5 months ago. So you drive through all the cones, you check a few boxes, you show a couple QR codes. Nobody asks, are you a cop? Nobody asks if you are a... I think someone, the person that got me into it, I think they might have conveyed that I was a caregiver, which I am not. I'm not eligible for the shot. I'm being clear about that. Yeah, I know, dude. You're a fucking asshole who's morally weak. I don't know about that. I mean, I know about that, but I don't know. See me after school. Then the culmination of the event is actually getting shot, of course. You pull under, it looks like you would imagine on some epidemic movie. A lot of people covered up. You pull into like a tent-like facility, and it's all smiling black people. That's how it is in Atlanta. It's all friendly black people. And being Atlanta, there's music playing in the tent. There's like a good vibe. That also like warmed like why this is the best city in the world. It's just like, yeah, it's a pandemic and all, but why don't we fucking barbecue too? It's just such a sweet vibe. All the aunties there. Sweet, like, it was just a good feeling. And in that tent, you know, as they're about to give you the shot, some woman said to me, okay, after you get the shot, they're going to guide you over to a parking lot where you wait for 15 minutes, I guess, to see if there's any adverse effects from the shot. And I was like, oh, I didn't know about that, but fine, I'm getting a vaccine. And you know what it cost to get the vaccine? $0. I didn't pay for anything along the way. So I go through the tent. I roll up my sleeve. They tell me my sleeve was rolled up by the time, as soon as I like left the house, like I had a sweatshirt on, I pulled it down. I get the shot. They send me out. There's a guard who said, are you going to observation or are you exiting? She's like, you know what the correct answer is. I said, I'm exiting. She goes, all right, go that way. And that was it. So then you have like an eighth of a mile drive from the tent that you go through to the exit of the facility. And in that time, I just had this burst. This. I've described the only times I become emotional, like truly in a good emotion. Sorry. That collective charitable sense of oneness with the world where your own happiness and motives are nowhere to be seen. I feel that in two occasions. One, when my child is born, which has happened once in my life. And then the other one is when they win the Stanley Cup and I see those Canadians like losing those guys, what the cup means to them, that makes me cry. Those are the only occasions. I had that feeling today when I was leaving the vaccine center. And on my way out, I had the window down, and the same dudes that I thanked on the way in, they could see it. They knew it. They sensed it. They'd probably seen it from lots of other people. The vaccine site, this is the third day it's been open. So they've probably seen other people. And I was just, I started clapping. I was like, let's go. It's going to be a big summer. And they're like, oh, yeah, it is. Oh, and it was just like euphoria. And then I got lost for like 9 minutes down there near the airport. I'm like, this doesn't get me on the tarmac. And that was it. I got the first vaccine shot today. And then I found my way back to the highway. I left my house, went to the airport, got a shot, and was back in like 50 minutes time total. That's not an exaggeration. Which, for a state that is not the most efficient, is incredible. It's incredible. And I got the shot. I know with each passing minute before I was getting the shot, like yesterday and the day before, more and more articles about how people are hunting for vaccines and how they can't find them and how people are being denied the vaccine and older people can't figure out how to use the website. And it's just like increasingly you are a fucking selfish prick for doing this. And I get it. It's 100% selfish. But I also, it doesn't feel selfish. That's because you're sociopathic. Maybe. I don't know. But it doesn't feel like, I know when I'm edging someone out of the way or elbowing someone just to the side. Oh, sorry. I got this rebound here. It doesn't feel that way. Well, you should read more. I know. But you know when you're being a fucking prick. And this doesn't feel like it. Maybe that's because we all need to be vaccinated and herd immunity, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe I'm also speaking as someone who has been a prick enough in his life. It doesn't feel the same as all the other occasions when I've been an asshole. And so I find my way back to the highway and I put on the last music that was playing in the car was the Green Day record, American Idiot, because it's my understanding young kids love Green Day. I still love Green Day, but kids love Green Day. Like it's like great, because it's not the most, all due respect, it's not like listening to fucking, you know, King Crimson or the Mars Volta. It's not the most sophisticated. It's excellent. All right. It's Green Day. They're not worried about you offending them. Kids love Green Day. So yesterday in the car, my daughter and I were listening to American Idiot. And so I put the music back on in the car on my way back. And the song that I was on is called Novocaine. And the chorus is, drain the pressure from the swelling. This sensation's overwhelming. It's a jam. And I don't know if the beginning of the song's got that boom, boot, boom, boot, boot, which is a drum beat that sounds like, what does it sound like? It sounds like Sunday Bloody Sunday by U2. Sing 'em up! This Green Day song, Novocaine, is a great song, and also it clicked with me embarrassingly well on the drive home. Because it's like nice and mellow, and then there's this huge explosion at the chorus. And it just, I mean, they are, Billy Joe, just master songwriters. And can, you know why, different than King Crimson or Mars Volta, whoever I mentioned, they can inject so much emotion through a simple, great lyric and a straightforward chord progression, build, tension, release, and then back to equilibrium. It's just masterful at that. Which is like you respect people who can get more done with less. Sorry, and not more, not with less, but yeah, less bullshit than fucking King Crimson. Nobody's ever listened to King Crimson and been like, wow, that's really moved me emotionally. They're like, that's some highly technical. And I've never even fucking listened to King Crimson, so I don't know what I'm talking about. It's in my head as a stand-in for prog music from the 70s. I don't know. This song really, Novocaine, and I guess, you know, of course it's a shot. It was embarrassing how well it connected with me. I was screaming, I'm grown, I have a baby. I was screaming the lyrics on the way home. I was driving faster than I've ever driven in the last year because I've forgotten how to drive. And so I've noticed I'm much more of a timid driver when I go out because I rarely drive. Except today, I was driving like 80 miles an hour on the highway, changing lanes with confidence. Good for you. You're driving again. Glad you overcame that hardship also. But I played the song like five times back to back. Just it was like, wow. It was a release. I was releasing something that I did not know was in me. The last year. The last year of... Not me. Well, you know, fuck that. I'm not saying that... COVID has affected me too. I know it's affected other people much, much worse. But it's affected me. And you know what? It's fucking affected people who've done better than I am and are happier than I am. It's affected fucking everybody. And being in this, I just felt like, holy shit, maybe this well of euphoria, let's go. That's what it was feeling like. Let's go. Let's all go to a barbecue. Let's not fucking kill people. Let's take a break for 5 minutes from the political bullshit. I know we won't, and I know it's simplistic, and I know it's characteristic of wait your turn mentality. Come on, guys, can't we just hold hands? No, fuck you, you hate me, I hate you. But in that moment when you win the Stanley Cup, when your kid is born, when you get the first fucking shot in your arm, wow, this is awesome. And I played that song, Novocaine, like five times. And sitting at a stoplight on Northside Drive, I will confess, I air drummed. How, I mean, which is, but you know what? If you hate on somebody air drumming, you're just a hater. You're just mad at their at their excitement, that they're feeling that good. Does it look ridiculous? Yeah. Was I trying to impress anybody so they would take their clothes off with me? No. So why the fuck would I care? I was doing what I was doing. It was natural. And sitting at that light, watching people turn in front of me, seeing the faces go by, I was thinking about each and every one of them. Who would take this vaccine if they could? Who doesn't look like they would take the vaccine if they could? Who is... Who am I fucking over? Who would... If I would surrender my shot, which one of those people would have taken it? All that. But then I couldn't help but think about the people who would refuse the vaccine, which is their right. And not the people who are probably more on my team than aren't on my team, as far as like how we are politically. Not those people who are listening like, dude, you're a moral worm who shouldn't have taken the shot and we're not going to listen to this podcast anymore, despite the fact that you've been so candid, been so honest about your moral shortcomings. Thank you, I have been honest. Not those people who are judging me, but the other people, the anti-vaxxers, the QAnons. Though I was thinking about those people and how I once, like, me getting that shot was a dagger in how they would perceive. It's not my intention, but how they would perceive it as another fucking dagger into them. And to keep it going, because all the things I am, they do not like. Let's be clear about that. I am first and foremost, what am I? I am a white man who does not give a shit about whiteness. There you go. I feel no allegiance to the group. I don't. Which makes me a race traitor. I'm atheist, 100%. I have a well of love in my heart for my fellow man, but I'm not a religious person and I don't believe in God. I don't say fuck you about that, but I don't believe in God, okay? And you judge me for that. You do. I think, you know, I don't judge you for your religion, but I'm not trying to change you. You're trying to change me. You're trying to save the world from me. But you got to understand, I don't have the same nefarious objectives that you think I do. Well, you do. You're living them. You're getting vaccinated. So I am a white male who doesn't give a shit about whiteness. I am an atheist. All these things that are like super injurious. I made out with a dude one time. And you know what? I don't give a shit. He wasn't even that good looking. I was drunk and had low self-esteem. I think that we should tax the rich more. I think that we should have reparations. 100%. Oh, that would be challenging. So fucking what? We put a man on the moon. We can figure that out. We're vaccinating people across the country. You can figure out reparations. I think government should regulate industry more. All these fucking things that I am. I have trans friends. They're not, be honest, they're not good friends. I have a black friend, and I don't like the thing. I like the things that you don't like. I don't feel about the flag the same way that you do. But here's the fucking catch. I love my country as much as you do. And so all those things that I just described that are injurious to the people who hate that stuff, all those things I just said, whatever else, I'm sure there are 75 more things that I have that would antagonize someone, the anti-vax, QAnon, whoever you are. And we do sleep, though, on the role religion plays on that, and I'm not going to get into that now. But when is somebody in the religious community going to say, hey, we need to fucking sort ourselves out? But all those things, I was thinking about those people. To my eye, you are compelled, not by an agenda, but just to troll, to make the other side, to own the libs, to make the other side pissed, right? So there I am with my arms full of all these things that would make you pissed. I'm white, doesn't give a shit, atheist, made out with a dude, whatever. All those things I didn't feel compelled to, and now I just got a fucking vaccine. I don't feel compelled to stab you in the heart with. And that's where we differ. And you know what it means? Is you want it more than I do. I'm not trying to change you. I'm not trying to control you. I'm not trying to get you to think differently. I'm not trying to make you on my victory. Your unhappiness is not my victory. That doesn't do any. Somewhere on this, does it say anywhere when you clicked on this that this was that I'm going to say a stand-up comic in there somewhere? Well, dude, you know, I got the fucking vaccine today for this pandemic, which smart people say hasn't been around like this since Spanish flu, like in 1918, something like that. So, gosh. I did not, but I was watching these people drive by thinking about all. Now, here's one other thing that you would hate about me that I could weaponize to, not weapon, could I weaponize it? To say, fuck you. Fuck you. But I do not feel that. That is inauthentic. I was just watching these people go by, like, I don't, my goal is not to make you mad. Shit, I just knocked the microphone. The goal is not to make you mad. Which is what it seems like your... Okay. All right. Okay. Anyway, I could not stop listening to that song. This sensation's overwhelming. Just kept going on. And there I am. I had to talk about, like I said, it's probably the most annoying, and I know it's not rich in, maybe it's entertaining, I don't know. maybe at least you have a better idea of what it's like to go through the vaccine site. Well, we'd like to know, asshole, but we didn't, like you, have a rich person give them access to the process. You're right. But this is my truth, and I feel like we can be candid with one another. So when I found out that I was going to get the shot, I immediately was like, I'm going to do fucking stand-up right away. I'm going to go do stand-up. And Paul Hooper, who is in town this weekend, Thursday, when this airs, it'll be tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday at the Punchline, who is a friend who I've worked with, I immediately hit him up because I've not been doing indoor spots and was like, hey, dude, like an asshole. Hey, dude, do you mind if... I didn't say, do you mind if I... First of all, I didn't just drop in and be like, hey, what's going on? You know, you mind if I... You're the headliner. You mind if I do a little jump on this show real quickly? Demonstrating, showing up with, like, my enthusiasm and my personality. Making the investment to show up and say... Hey, Paul, good to see you. Yeah, he's like, what have you been doing? You getting up? Yeah, I don't know, COVID. Oh, do a spot. Like, it didn't happen organically like that. I sent him a message saying, hey, dude, can I come do a few spots this weekend? Not, hey, I'm going to hope to see you this weekend. Would love to do a spot. Or, hey, man, don't do me any favors, but if you have a little spot I could do. No, I didn't say, hey, do you mind if I stop by Friday and Saturday night and do... I said, do you mind if I come for the whole weekend you're here and do a few spots? Now, I don't know if I was that. What it was, I was not trying to bogart time on his... I was absolutely trying to bogart time on his shows. But what I was trying to... What I was doing, that was the euphoria of few. Like, hey, I'm going to get the shot on Wednesday. Why don't I just book myself into the Punchline 2 days later? That's normal, isn't it? No, you fucking entitled prick. But I said a few spots and I felt terrible after saying it. And of course, he's such a sweetheart. He's like, yeah, sure, dude, sounds great. And I contacted the love of my life, who, Marcy at the Punchline, and conveyed it to her. And she's like, come on down, be so great, et cetera, et cetera. And the Laughing Skull starting to do shows again. And was talking with Ian over there about doing some shows. And I'm like, I'm going out this weekend. I'm going to do 600 shows. And I'll probably bomb my balls off because I have not been doing stand-up. And then I stopped and I thought about it. And I looked into the, so what you should do is you should go see Paul Hooper at the Punchline this weekend. You also should go to Laughing Skull, and you should go to Uptown, and you should go to Atlanta Comedy Theater, and you should go if you've had the vaccine, or you don't like wearing rubbers. Mask up, go see all these shows. But what I concluded was, I got the shot today. It seems that it takes two, the longer the serum, the longer the microchip is in your arm, the more effective it becomes. So me getting the shot today doesn't do me a whole lot of good tomorrow, Saturday, whatever, Sunday, etc. And wouldn't that be a schmucky move to get the coronavirus after you got the vaccine? So then I sent Paul, and I'm like, I don't know, dude, I'm going to probably lay low. And he's like, what, do you have the virus? Like, stay the fuck away. So my euphoria, and that was my euphoria for doing comedy, led me to ask him for a few spots. How greedy is that? And bad manners, by the way, too. So I'm not doing any comedy this weekend, but as you're listening to this, if you're looking for something to do this Friday night, tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, go see a show at the Punchline or Laughing Skull Lounge. You'll have a great time. They're socially distanced. They're spread out. And I'm going to wait to start booking things until I get the second shot in my arm. I talked about it with my wife. Like, that seems like reasonable. Like the second shot in your arm. And that'll be on like St. Patrick's Day, I think. Ha ha, bit of the Irish, will ya? Anybody drinking Guinness today? But I'm excited now at this point in the conversation or the monologue. Now I'm excited for me. And if you've been listening, you know, for the last couple of weeks, I've sensed that there's something on the horizon. There's some relief. You're like, yeah, it's your privilege. And it's white privilege. My whiteness caused me to know this rich person who gave me this opportunity to get vaccinated. It didn't hurt. I know that. I know he also knows black people. And to my knowledge, was not like, and I'm not going to give them access to it. But due to my, I just had this feeling. And so previously the feeling was selfish. Like, oh my God, I think we're going to come to an end and we're going to get vaccinated and we're going to do shows again. Then when I'm now literally today getting the vaccine, doing shows never crossed my mind. The euphoria of let's all have a barbecue together. Let's fucking hug again. Hug. My daughter and I have a book called Hug. It's very cute. Let's do that. But as I've talked myself now to the end of the podcast here, it's like, oh my God, yeah, I'm going to be able to do stand-up again. And that's very selfish. I appreciate you listening. I had to convey what I experienced this morning. And I hope that you experience it very soon. That feeling, the vaccine too, but that feeling of, holy shit, like my wife said, of course, is not as euphoric as I am because she's still like, I had a little feeling that it was weird we were doing it. But she said it's like the flowers are starting to bloom, like in a slow motion or whatever you call that, motion cap. You know what I'm saying? All the flower starts blooming in front of your eye. That's what it feels like. But it's not your own flower. It's the flower of us people. The other thing I should say is, to my eye, they could be doing 100 times the amount of vaccines that they are. Now, maybe there are supply issues, maybe there are personnel issues, all these things that are way out of my knowledge, purview, out of my purview, as I say. But it felt like I should not have gotten in and out of there in 8 minutes. So do with that what you will. And thank you to all those people down there. Thank you to Pfizer. Thank you to the scientists who had the good ideas. Thank you to the people working. All right, dude, working in Pfizer laboratories, just cleaning the fucking place, listening to these self-righteous scientists say, I'm going to be the one. Like, man, you're not going to cure shit. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, fuck, he's on it. And it just, okay, I'm not thanking the world. I appreciate you listening and indulging me through this indulgence today. And if you enjoy the podcast, would you please leave a fucking review? Thanks, and I will talk to you next time.